The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Down goes Miami, down goes Georgia.
Oof.
Comment from an AD that I don't know if I've ever heard or seen an AD do.
I think an AD is complaining about
this. You think an AD's done this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Not this AD, though. This
Not
is
this
out
AD.
Of character yeah. for this AD.
Well, what a game Saturday night. For those who stayed up late enough on Saturday night, boy, oh boy, what a ball game we had.
It's been a rough year, and so sometimes you get out of character reactions from people when they're not
lashing out.
Yeah, and then you add the holy war part of it, and it just... all hell, quite literally, was breaking loose for
in
some
the Holy
of those
War.
People.
It was, man. Not fun for Utah fans on Saturday night. We'll get to all that in the final hour of the show. And the Portland Trailblazers, round of applause for your performance yesterday. Way to bring the effort.
Great job.
I want to get to something. So
but they play hard for Chauncey.
They play hard for Chauncey, that's for sure. They don't ever lose by 60 or 50 or 40. It does not happen under Chauncey. We'll get to that in the final hour of the show.
We have somebody quiet quitting on that team.
We do. A lot of Texan Beaver fans coming in. I want to try and get to some of them. I want to get your thoughts on it. So you kind of touched on it there in the last segment. I am somebody who usually advocates and will support for aggressive coaches. That's the way I run my program in NCAA 25. I like being aggressive. Try and win the game. Have some balls. Don't punt on fourth and one. Like that's my general philosophy. Mm-hmm. Have some confidence in your offense that they could get the job done. Be aggressive.
Be aggressive.
However,
there it is.
That also comes with a caveat, and this is where sometimes I feel like analytics misses the mark. Now, I don't know how Oregon State calculates his things and what numbers Trent Bray uses in his decision-making to go for it on fourth down. The numbers might have told them on fourth and five from the five-yard line, analytics says go for it. Mm. Does analytics take into account the fact that your quarterback is slower than molasses on a cold day in Georgia and your passing game sucks? Does analytics tell you when you're going for it on fourth and four from your own 46-yard line that your offense has been horrible in the second half of that game?
Yeah.
And your quarterback had previously thrown a pick six? Like, I watching that game, usually I think you got to make the decision of, in the moment when they call it, do you like it or do you not? Whether the outcome of the play, don't let it determine how you feel. As they're lining up to either kick a field goal or go for it, what does your gut tell you? And in both instances in the Oregon State game, my gut said, what are we doing here? When you have a slow quarterback and you go for it on fourth and five from the five, one, running the football is basically eliminated. You can't call a run play there because you're either a genius with massive balls or you're getting booed out of your own stadium. So running the football is eliminated if I'm a defensive coordinator. You don't have a mobile quarterback, so he's not going to be able to extend or, you know, scramble around, make something happen with his legs. You can't get him out on the run on a bootleg where there also is a threat of running because, again, he can't move. So you're essentially stuck calling a generic pass play on fourth and five with very little room to work because there's a lid on the defense with the back of the end zone. I didn't like you had that game again. It was similar to me to Nevada. What were they up in the Nevada game? Up by 10?
10.
Up by 10. Your defense, yes, the injuries were terrible. Then you throw a pick six and everything kind of snowballs. You started that second half. It was 10-10 tie. You overcame a horrific defensive PI call late in the first half. You blocked the field goal. Mike Parker's banging on the glass. You're like, all right, here we go. You get a three and out to open the second half. You go down and kick a field goal. Mm-hmm. You then get an interception. You drive all the way back down. Like, you were in control of that game. And not going for it on that fourth down, or excuse me, going for it on that fourth down and not taking points there, I felt like tipped a little bit of the momentum, gave San Jose State hope. Next drive, they get the pick six.
Sure.
Next thing you know, you go for it again. I hated both of those calls to go for it, considering in a game that I thought your defense actually played pretty well and held San Jose State to 17 points.
Yeah, I think going for it on fourth down is such a fundamental question. Like, I think a lot of people are largely in on the be aggressive, don't be scared of the moment. I also agree with these. Sometimes, to me, it's not about analytics. Analytics actually agree with Todd Bowles against the Chiefs. How did everybody else feel?
Yeah.
Go win it.
Yeah.
And they kick the field goal. They go to overtime. They lose, right? So I just largely think you have to evaluate the moment. Now, these were the possessions by San Jose State prior to that. Punt, interception, missed field goal, field goal.
Yeah.
Those are the four possessions.
Wasn't
prior.
Like they were ripping up and down the field, scoring touchdowns. And now, one of those punts, by the way, should be noted, they also had horrific offensive PI calls against them. I don't know what we were looking at on either of those.
That's
but
fine.
I digress.
But that was it. What were your previous possessions? Field goal, turnover on downs because you didn't want to take another field goal, which would have put you up 16-10.
Yeah.
And I'm not always one that believes, but sometimes it's a butterfly effect. You go up 16-10. You've held them relatively down from where we thought they would be offensively.
Yeah.
Hey, you're up six now. How about that? You didn't. You went for it. You didn't get it. They then punted, and then you threw a pick six in your own end zone. I just, you have to be honest with yourself sometimes and say, we're down 17-13. We're at our own 40. We could make this too easy for them. Let's play field position here. There was 11 minutes in the fourth quarter.
In a 17-13 game on your own 46-yard line, you handed them a short field.
You had caused them to punt multiple times, turn them over on downs. You had a spot there where it wouldn't have been the end of the game to punt it.
No.
And I'm with you. I largely lean being aggressive. But in the moment watching this, I went, ugh.
Dude, Bengal Branson's your quarterback. Like,
well, I mean, it doesn't matter.
It's one thing if Cam Ward's your quarterback and he can scramble around and like, all right, I roll the dice there.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You can name any quarterback they have, and I'd say that. I just, you kind of have to play to who you are. And who you're not is an offensively talented team. You are a struggle bus, a bit of a mess offensively. You have two touchdowns in two games. You're beating your opponent largely at that point. You kind of have to play into your identity. I think it's easier for a Dan Lanning to say, I'm going to run Jordan Burch 40 yards on this fake because I'm the number one team in the country. We're not playing great and we're still controlling this game. I can afford to risk this. It's not the same if you're Oregon State. And again, I just think back, I thought his post-game press conference kind of sums up how it feels.
Yeah, there's an anger there, but also not a lot of answers.
I don't think he has answers. Yeah. And I talked to somebody who's at this game. It wasn't a great atmosphere. There are a lot more seats becoming, it's becoming scattered and scattered. And if they lose to Air Force, I don't care if Washington State comes to town. I don't know what that's going to be. So you're not only losing momentum with your team and your season, you're doing the worst thing that could have happened. Your fan base is becoming apathetic and it's just like, what's the point? We're not in a real conference anymore.
Yeah.
We can't compete. We've lost all of our funding and conference dollars and cents. Like, there's a real apathy setting in, and it's the worst possible thing that could happen to them.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from The Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Talk about leaning in your identity. I'm glad you brought that up because there was a team this weekend that I thought did that where we know what, when we envision a Kalen DeBoer offense, we know what sticks out in our mind. It's Penix and Grubb calling plays, slinging it all over the field, these great weapons. It's felt like at times Alabama has tried to make their offense that when Jalen Milroe is not that kind of quarterback. He's not a horrible passer, but that's just not his strength.
He's not a Penix.
You know what their rush to pass breakdown was this weekend, play calling?
It was insane. He threw like 105 yards.
48 runs to 18 passes.
Yeah.
He's an elite athlete. Let's run the damn football.
He's a big body dude.
He had 12 carries for 185 yards. Yep. It's just like, let's stop trying to be something we're not. We're going to be a rushing football team. Part of that is the opponent, and LSU's run defense isn't very good, but it's just finding out who you are and discovering that identity that it feels like Oregon State has really struggled with. One listener at the Vancouver Four text line said, why are we playing Dr. Golbranson over Jabari Johnson? Let's see a full game of Johnson. We already know what Golbranson can do. It's absolutely nothing, especially when the run game is asked. I mean, that was the frustrating part, was at least there were times where you made plays down the field. Trent Walker had 11 catches for 151 yards.
He's like, their clear number one
It was the best your pass game had looked all season. It just, when you needed it in the biggest moments on third downs or fourth downs, you couldn't find a way, and then you threw a bad pick six, which, to be fair to Golbranson, wasn't even like that was a miscommunication. He thought the receiver was running an out. The receiver kind of sat down in zone coverage, and he threw it right to a safety with a miscommunication on that route. He was asked, Trent Bray was, after the game, is it time to start giving some younger guys looks? Like, a bowl game's probably not going to happen. Like, what are you trying to accomplish the rest of the way? He completely shot that down. But that would be my thought if I were a Beaver fan. Not that all of this is on Golbranson.
Sure.
But just, I mean, you got a highly touted freshman there. I know he's going to be limited throwing the football. It's not like you're lighting up the world offensively anyways. Get him some reps, let him run around and make some plays and see if you can find something.
I think the interesting thing here is, I believe, and I'm trying to find the quote, Jaden Robinson, they're like seventh year DB. He said the quiet part out loud. Rebuild. And that was not the messaging we got from Bray and everybody else around that program going into the year. It was, we're going to hum just fine with this schedule, and we'll be okay. Boy, you lose to Air Force, 4-8, year one, woof.
That the Air Force, I mean, it's already bad, but you would be staring at a, yeah. I mean,
but you're not going to be, here's the thing.
I'm not shocked, no.
No, I think if they lost to Air Force, you wouldn't come in Monday and be like, whoa, I can't believe that happened. Like, yeah. Well, it's kind of who they've been.
A couple of more thoughts here. It's not going to change for this year coming at the Vancouver for a text line, but my hope as a Beaver fan is you just try and rebuild, be ready for 2026, be the fifth best conference, be in position to win in 2026. I'm fully on board with punting on every game this season. If it means playing the young guys, the staff, and the young guys taking their lumps, building for 2026. 25 is just going to be another stopgap, and I think the narrative going into it needs to be that instead of, well, this is a winnable schedule. I'm still hopeful for my future, of the future with Bray. It felt like he's dealt a really bad hand, and that's where, like, both
Jonathan
sides of
this. 8-4, and we're questioning everything. This dude might go 4-8, and it's all roses. Wait till 2026.
Both sides of that can be fair, where he's had to lose his entire roster, essentially. You had to put that together in the portal in the short term. You can't do that. They lost half their staff. Like, so on the one hand, it is, you want to be fair to him of, like, I don't know how many coaches you would hire that would have won in this situation. But on the other hand, is there an area that you could look at the team and say, as the year has gone on, they've gotten better?
No.
Like that, like
the defense has gotten worse.
Let's use UCLA as an example here. UCLA, did anybody watch them beat Iowa on Friday night?
They might go bowling this year.
They might. They beat Nebraska in Nebraska. Like, that was a horrible football team early in the season.
Bad public speaker. Maybe not that bad of a coach.
He's kind of like, they've gotten better, and there's like, okay, you're making progress and you're catching some people napping, and look at that.
Nebraska at Nebraska. That was big.
Those are nice wins. And so they're playing better, and we all made fun of him early in the season. And injuries have been a big part of this, but
this has been my Chauncey Billups point.
Yes. Where are you getting better?
What has gotten better and what is evident? Because it's not, I don't know what you'd point to for Bray.
Yeah.
In year one, to be fair, yes.
Yeah. One last one. A Beaver alum here. This was always going to be a wasted season. The goal for this year was to keep the team together, keep recruiting momentum building. They have failed in both those things. This year is over. Find out what talent we have and get ready to recruit. That's my general thought as well.
They can't recruit.
But they can't recruit.
They recruit
right now.
Like a middle-level Mountain West team. So yeah. I don't, like, maybe the expectation is that that's going to be good enough. They'll develop that talent.
Hit the portal hard, maybe.
I'm certainly leaning more into the pessimistic situation of all this. I have largely since the conference died.
Yeah.
But I appreciate people staying with optimism. I really do. I know it doesn't come across that way. I don't mean to, like, be thumbing, what is that expression?
Thumbing your nose.
Thumbing my nose.
Yes. In looking
your face.
Down on you.
Yeah. Like, I hope to be wrong on all of this stuff. It just, where it's trended for over a year and now with how they're playing and looking, it's hard for me to have that same optimism.